Hello and welcome, dear listeners, to a very special episode of the Finger Guns podcast. You might hear that it's not Roscoe, nor is it Josh, nor is it Kat, but instead it's me, it's Miles. I've taken the reins, I've ascended the throne for a very special one. This isn't going to be a regular feature, I don't think, anyway. But joining me today, I have the usual Finger Guns host extraordinaire, Roscoe himself. Welcome, sir.
Hello there.
How are we? Hello there.
It's so nice to be on this side of it for a change.
Did it feel good to do the hello there? Did that feel nice?
Yeah, it was nice. I feel relaxed, you know?
Yeah, you can sit back and chill and just, you know, appreciate the vibes, hopefully.
Just kick back and enjoy talking about one video game.
Absolutely. One video game for an entire podcast. How would we ever do such a thing?
And just to confirm with everyone listening, this is not sponsored content. We just really like this game. I want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just super sick. It slays, as one might say.
Well, hey.
Before we get into it, how are you, Roscoe?
Yeah, I'm very well. I've been ages since we've last recorded the podcast.
Oh, so long. We haven't heard each other speak in like minutes.
25 minutes?
Literally.
If you are listening to this, we've just come off recording episode 247. Getting hyped for 250. Looking forward to that. Which will go down in a couple of weeks' time. But overall, yeah, I'm doing well. Just playing video games and getting hyped for another cracking year of indies, particularly with this one, because this one's going to absolutely, I think, kickstart the year in a very positive way.
I was going to say, we've had quite a big start to the year in terms of big games and indie games, and this game in particular is one that I think, as you said, is really going to kick things off and get the ball rolling on what is sure to be a great indie year. But we are talking about Beat Slayer today. And Roscoe, you've played the demo.
I have played the demo. I will admit, I have code for this game. I am yet to actually jump into the full game, purely because life has gotten in the way a lot. And then we run out of time. And it turns out it's the 1st of April tomorrow. So we ran out of time a little bit.
You ran out of road.
But fortunately, Mr. Thompson has played a metric megaton of this game already.
I have.
And so there's plenty to discuss.
That is.
I just want to say well done for actually introducing yourself for the first time ever.
Thank you. Proud of that. Yep.
Well done.
It is a rarity. It is not my forte in terms of the intro. Actually, the outro, I think the first couple of times I did it, I actually managed to nail it, and then ever since, I've somehow managed to scupper myself, but I've never introduced myself, so this is a first. But as we'll get to in the interview, I think I don't introduce myself instead.
I know you're a humble, humble human being, Miles, and, you know, but when you're the host, it's all about you.
I know. What about you? I'm not all right with that, you know? I quite like to be out of the spotlight, just on the sidelines, you know? But... Yeah. Today is a different day. I'm a new man, and today I've introduced myself. So, you know, that's the main thing. I'm growing.
It's unbelievable. It generally is.
It is pretty unbelievable. And I guess you've also had a little game called Rebirth to tide you over in terms of your time as well.
Yeah, but that's it. We're not talking about Rebirth now.
We're not talking about that today.
No.
Instead, we get to talk about Beat Slayer. So, as a quick kind of intro, Beat Slayer is a rhythm hack and slay game, not hack and slash. It's important to kind of remember that. Where you take on the character of Mia and you run through a 90s kind of dystopian Berlin, where a dude called D-Trek has basically taken over the city using mind control tunes. So think electro, drum and bass, rave tunes, but they cripple your mind and they make you do the bidding of whoever decides. Which is a kind of cool setup. It's like kind of like a Saturday morning kind of cartoon kind of art style. And it's got like a manga kind of comic strip used for like cutscenes and stuff. So it's a really cool looking game. And as our audience probably know, we're quite big fans of rhythm games owing to Metal Hellsinger and Hi-Fi Rush and everything else that's come out that we've just suddenly become big fans of. So I guess obviously we both played the demo originally, and the interview itself, which you'll get to listen to in a little bit, is focused on when I had only played the demo. I hadn't had access to the review copy at that stage. So a lot of like the impressions and the questions kind of come from that. But how did you find the demo, Roscoe? How did you just enjoy the game itself and what you played?
It's really hard.
It is super hard, isn't it? It's tough.
What bothers me about it, and it doesn't, there's no fault of the game. This is all my thing. No fault of the game whatsoever. I'm a drummer, right? I'm a musician. I live in rhythm. I live in 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Why can't I do it when I play a video game, Miles?
I can't answer it for you, Roscoe. I really can't. And what's funny is I'm on the complete like flip side of that, where I have absolutely no musical intuition whatsoever. Like, you do a 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm at like 21 somehow. So for me, getting to grips with this game was a bit difficult, I'll be honest. Like, my first couple of runs, I think my very first run, the first enemy just thwacked me and I was dead. And I was like, okay, we're not coming to play today. Dietrich and his robots, they're not screwing around today. So yes, it's quite tough. But did you manage to kind of get through a bit of that hard exterior?
I did. And I powered through. I did complete the demo. And I was so unbelievably proud of myself.
That is pretty good, to be fair. I'm proud of you.
Like, you know, it's the same with like Metal Hellsinger, Hi-Fi Rush, any game that requires to be on the beat. It just takes time and repetition. Yes. And once you understand the rhythm of it, it starts to flow really nicely. And it feels so good. It's just so slick, this game. You know, I love the parry. The dodging is so cool. You got to dodge on the beat in order to go on the beat and then shoot on the beat. The beat is just, oh, groove is in the heart, my friend. Groove is in the heart. In
this, there's a lot of beating game going on here, Roscoe.
Oh, man. We really could beat each other off over this game, but we're not
going to. Oh, God. just beat it. Come on.
Sorry, Neon Hive. I know you're listening. My bad.
Yeah, apologies. This is what we're like in our normal podcast, so we're bringing it with that same energy, unfortunately.
But yeah, I'm very impressed with the whole, when I died for the first time and then I got sort of thrown back into the we'll say the hub area, if you like, I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I died a second time, I was like, oh, shit, this is bad. But then I got thrown back in and I was like, oh, it's one of these games where you have to kind of be rubbish to get better.
Yes,
you have to fail in order to progress. And that's what I took away from the demo. And once I understood that as a concept, I started to get better.
Yeah.
And absolutely. the training's like the ring. The ring that's in the hub.
Yeah, with Botty.
Yeah. Oh my God, that saved my life.
Botty's not like a euphemism, by the way. That's the name of the robot punching bag that generally you have in the training ring.
Yeah. Saved my life. Saved my life.
Yeah, Botty's like, wonderful.
I kept going back to him because I was like, I've got this. I know I have. Why am I being such a fucking idiot about this game? I know I can do this. And yeah, once me and Botty just had a few rounds, I was like, all right, let's freaking go. He is a lifesaver.
Yeah, he really is. And he's got the most positive demeanor ever because he's basically a robot. So he's basically programmed to only be happy. So he's only ever encouraging and helpful and positive vibes, even if you suck when you're first practicing with him, which is very nice. I think that's a nice little detail.
And one of the things that I liked about this game is that Miles openly said when he tried it for the first time, I suck at this.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so special. It was like, oh, I sucked at it too. That means it's not just me.
We're in this together now.
Yay.
Yeah, so my first run, literally the first two enemies that spawn are like these basic little robot spider things. And they killed me immediately because I didn't understand how to be on the beat whatsoever. And I didn't understand how to dodge their attacks properly. So they just killed me outright. And I was like, God, what have I done? I've agreed to review this game and I might not be able to play it. So I guess the best way that I've kind of amalgamated it in my head is that this is basically like playing Hades, but with the added wrinkle of you have to play Hades where you can only do your actions at certain moments. And it's really hard to get your head around that at first, because my instinct is dodge, 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 dodge at any time. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter when, just do it. And the game is like, can you please stop doing that? Because it's not cool.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is when you are on beat, every action you do, so whether you do an attack, an ultimate, a kick or a dash, if you do them on beat, you'll build up a consecutive kind of combo score. And when you do that, you'll eventually enter what's called Tanzrausch. I think that's how you pronounce it. I've been listening to the game extensively, so I'm hopefully that is correct. Which is basically like a souped up Dragon Ball Z like power mode. And I even asked this in the interview as well, of like, what was the inspiration behind this? Because it's wicked. and your damage is increased, and it basically, you have to be in Tanzarels if you want to get through these runs. It is a roguelike, which means that when you die, you do reset back to the hub, as you said, Roscoe. And then the idea is that you have to complete an entire run in one go. So if you die at any point before the third and final boss, you reset, you start again. So yeah, it's Hades, but with like rhythm gameplay kind of thrown in just to give you another wrinkle to think about. And I will say this. So my first two runs were utterly awful, despite having played the demo. It took me 18 runs in total to finish the game, and you need 5 complete runs to finish the story. So it took me 13 goes, aside from my successful ones, to get to the end. And I think there are ways where, if you're an experienced rhythm game player, or you are experienced at action games, like I spent 50 hours with Hades to get the platinum, that's going to carry you a long way in getting to grips with this, because once it hits and you get into the groove with it, it just becomes a whole different game. Like my run on my last two goes, I was racking up a combo of like over 300. And it's because there was a stage where I didn't even need the on-screen prompts to be able to stay in beat. I was literally just going off the music itself, because the music is so well punctuated. I was like, I don't need the prompts. I can literally just hear it now. But that does take, I'd probably say it took me maybe 2-3 hours of just playing it consistently to really build into that intuition. So I would say, if you found the demo tough, don't fret. Once you kind of get started, stick with it for the first couple hours. They'll be quite painful. As you said, death is quite painful in this game.
Yes.
But it is part of the point. You need to kind of die, because also that progresses the story the same in Hades, and you accrue XP on your runs, which you can then spend on persistent upgrades. So like, you can improve your health, then you can improve like damage output and what kind of bonuses that you can pick up in a run. And those will all help you as well. And interestingly, I found out, I think because I started to become quite efficient with my runs, where I was getting quite far into them every time, I wasn't dying enough to unlock all of the different like power-ups that you can get in runs, because you get like one per one or two runs that will then unlock to become available for all future ones. And so I only got the shield upgrade like, I think, about 10 runs in. And I was like, this would have been really helpful about 9 runs ago. So there is a lot of that where, like, don't be deterred if you suck at the game at first, or if you die quite a bit at first. It's the point. It's the entire point of this game. It is a roguelike in its purest form, but it does make you a better player. So I don't know if that feels a bit more encouraging for you, Roscoe.
Thanks, buddy. The game knows it's hard.
Yes.
And it knows it's frustrating you, which is why it throws you power-ups and gives you everything you need in that hub to succeed for the next run. And gives you time and patience to learn the beat with Botty, and allows you that space. But yeah, it knows that it's not holding your hand in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't take any prisoners, that's for damn sure.
No.
It is relentless, but it's not unfair, you know? It gives you what you need. You just gotta apply it, essentially.
Yeah, 100%. It's very balanced. And this was like a big part of the discussion too, was how do you balance a game like this where you want people to be challenged and that they're going to get killed a lot and that they're going to struggle at times, but with keeping them motivated of wanting to keep playing. And that can come through either story progression, that can come through, you know, the art style being great, so you want to see what it looks like. Or it could just be that you want to get better. If the mechanics are good enough, you'll want to keep going even if you're having a torrid time.
Yeah.
And I think Beat Slayer really nails this. One of my favorite parts of, so I've spent 10 hours in total finishing it. One of my favorite parts is the different builds that you can do. So I'm not really a build kind of person. I normally get into a game, find something that I like, and then I don't change from that unless the game makes me like the entire way. In this game, you have to, because as you go through like a run, you'll get like branching paths and it can be up to 3, but the like potential upgrade or like the XP or the health boost or whatever it might be is randomized each time. So you're kind of trying to make a build as you go, but you've got limited choice on what you can work with. And there was like one where I prioritized purely just doing critical hits. And it meant that every time I was hitting an enemy, I was like smacking them for like 200% damage every single time.
Nice.
Which was sick because I was just wandering around, just one-shotting like all the basic enemies like really easily. There was one where I stacked virus, which you stack each time you hit them with it, it kind of applies a stack to that. If they get to 4 or 8 stacks, it then kind of like inflicts a massive wad of damage on them. So I did that to my basic attack. Then I did lightning kind of strikes along the floor on my ultimate attack. So I could stack virus and electricity on top of each other. And then I added burning to my dash. So I was just leaving little pools of lava around. So I was burning them, hitting them with virus and electrifying them all at the same time.
Oof.
And that was just like the effect.
No, have mercy.
Honestly, the effects on screen is wild, and they start to interact with each other where you can make like the burning effect blow up the virus effect, so enemies then blow up into more lava. It gets crazy. And then like my last two runs, where the difficulty ramps up, when you complete a run successfully, the game will then up the enemy damage and their health. So it then becomes harder. You'll get elite enemies, which are like, they have yellow health bars and their attacks get extended. So say like if there's an artillery robot that like fires missiles at you, it'll fire like double the amount. You'll start seeing them at the very start of the run instead of at the end. And it gets absolutely carnage towards like the last third of any run is absolutely wild. There are so many enemies on screen. So I had to make a shield build where I attached a shield effect to my basic hit. So every time I hit an enemy, it filled a bar. When the bar filled, I got a shield. You can have up to 3 at a time. So all I did was I just roamed around with kind of AoE attacks and damage over time. And then I just kept dashing around, getting shields as much as I could. And then I just brute forced my way through every encounter.
That's awesome.
And what's so cool is that the game accommodates this. So you can't just stick to one build, because actually by the time you get to like your 5th run that you need to do, where enemies do like double the damage to you and could take double the damage almost, it's simply not going to work, because you're basically a glass cannon. You're going to get smashed to pieces if you try and play it, you know, as you would on your first run. And I really liked how that progression incentivized me to try different abilities, to try different builds out, and to actually think about what I was doing as I was progressing through. And yeah, it took me 18 runs to do it, which I think is actually quite good in the end. But yeah, like the game is super fun. It builds on itself really nicely. And it really ticked that kind of Hades itch. I don't know how much time you spent with Hades, Roscoe, but basically it's a big inspiration for this game. And yeah. It really kind of captures that kind of essence to quite a strong degree.
I did beat Hades, actually.
Nice.
It wasn't... yeah, I... Did I beat Hades? Am I thinking about something else?
Am it's I getting the Greek
confused
one.
With Bastion?
Oh, Bastion.
I beat Bastion, I beat Transistor.
Yes.
Did I beat Hades?
Hades was a bit tougher than those two, to be fair.
Hey, I'm an amazing gamer. Shut your mouth.
I mean, you are a top gamer.
Programmer. Programmer. Thank you very much. No, I did. I did. I remember. Yeah, because I remember talking to Sean about it. Yeah.
Yes.
I did beat Hades. So I'm very proud of Hades on a beat just is what this is.
Yeah.
And now I want every game. I want Rebirth on a beat.
Imagine that. That'd be sick.
I want Shenmue on a beat. Thank you very much.
I could go without that, to be fair.
I want What Remains of Edith Finch on a beat.
Oh my god. Imagine the soundtrack to that. It'd be so sad.
I want Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, the slowest game ever, on a beat.
Yeah, that game is super slow, but I'd love to see them do it. Like, your footsteps have to be in time with the beat, otherwise you just don't move at all.
Let's make it happen.
I feel like we're into a new genre here.
Yeah, any game is better with a beat, you know?
The Walking Beat Simulator.
Yep. Why haven't I done that yet?
It's a missed opportunity.
It really is. Regardless, yeah, this is... Yeah, I did beat Hades, and I'm very proud I beat the demo of this. I'm going to jump into the full game, hopefully tomorrow? Now I've got a bit of time. So much to play. But yes, I will jump into this, and I will let you know my progress.
I'm really intrigued to see how you get on with it. It's a super, super fun game. Obviously, as this is coming out, my review should be live as well, so you can read that for my full kind of thoughts on it, because there is more to the game than what we've kind of obviously described, but we don't want to give everything away. Just wanted to give a kind of nice overview of how the game works. But the long and short of it is that it's a rhythm, a hack and slash game, hack and slay game. It's roguelite and it's super fun. It just is hard going at first as you get used to it, but don't be deterred. There is an easy difficulty and there are accessibility options to make staying on beat easier for you in terms of the prompts that you get.
Shout out to the metronome.
Yes, it's so saved helpful. My ass. Honestly, it can be so helpful when you get stuck as well. Don't be deterred by the difficulty part of it, because A, it's part of the game. It's part of the satisfaction of overcoming that and actually enjoying it. And although it is difficult, the game does, like, the initial kind of run that you do isn't super punishing, and it kind of builds with your skill level. The accessibility options is quite clear. They put a lot of thought into this of how to make it welcoming for new players while still giving them the chance to, you know, grow and develop into the game. But for veterans, you can turn off that accessibility stuff. If you just want to do it on the beat yourself, you can. You can turn off a lot of the visual aids that you have. And there is a hard difficulty. I wasn't brave enough to try that. And I played it on medium all the way through. That was a really nice balance for me. I'm not sure how I'd fare going into hard mode and having to do it all over again, having to relearn it to that degree. But the game is really, really fun. And I think a minimum, you're looking at, you know, 10 to 20 hours probably of what is a very fun and enjoyable experience. And there's just loads of love poured into this game. Like, I think that was evident even when we just played the demo, wasn't it?
It's so full of life.
Yeah. 100%. Like, just the art direction of it's really cool. The hub and the story stuff, the way I kind of see it is like Hades Light in that regard. There's not as much kind of depth to the characters or, you know, the branching kind of layered storylines that happen there. But it's kind of by design. They wanted very much for you to be able to have a bit of dialogue if you want to when you go back to the hub, so that you can reset a little bit and have a bit of a kind of cool down from what was probably a really intensive experience. But the idea is that this game is pushing you just to get back out and play again. So yeah, I loved it. I've really, really enjoyed my time with it. I'm super glad that we got to play it and really grateful that they gave us the opportunity to. Any other thoughts or anything else you wanted to mention about it, Roscoe?
I'm really happy it turned out as great as it did.
Yeah.
You know, this is one that we've been following for a little while, and I'm really happy that it's met our expectations and probably exceeded them as well, actually, to some degree. And long may it last. I look forward to hopefully additional content, maybe a sequel down the line. And Beat Slayer is it's cracking.
Yeah.
All intents and purposes. Really is. Yeah. Didn't you interview one of the guys working on the game?
I did. I interviewed Maximilian, who is, I believe, the kind of one of the directors within kind of Byte Rockers Games, the developers of the game itself. Maxi is absolutely lovely, as you will hear in this interview, which we'll play for you in a moment. It's a lot of questions about the kind of inspirations of the game, how they kind of came to build it, like idea of how they balanced it, all that kind of stuff. So it's a real kind of deep dive. As with me, as we know, Roscoe, I don't do things by 20-minute halves.
Get a coffee yeah. And kick back.
Yeah, it's quite a chunky conversation, but Maxi is lovely. Thankfully, he's really charismatic, he's really funny, and really friendly too. So hopefully it's a really insightful kind of discussion in terms of what you'll hear. And just super grateful to them for giving us the opportunity to chat to them, because yeah, there's so much love that they've poured into this game. And as you said, Roscoe, this isn't paid content. We're not sponsored for this, you know. If the game did unfortunately suck, thank God it didn't. But if it had sucked, you know, we would have been honest about it if it wasn't as good. But genuinely, I'm really glad that the final product of this is as good as what was hoped for. Maxi's lovely dude, and hopefully it gleans some lovely knowledge about how game development works. So I'll stop talking now, and I will let you enjoy the interview itself. Joining me today is Maximilian Grasting, Marketing Manager for Byte Rockers Games, a very, very special guest. Very pleased to have you on. So welcome, and thank you for joining us today, or joining me today, rather.
Hey, yeah, thank you for having me.
No, not at all. Really pleased, and really nice to have, you know, insight from, you know, a dev team and just from the actual industry itself. It's really nice to have the opportunity to. How are you today?
I'm very well, actually. Had a great day at work, and we're going strong with Beat Slayer.
Awesome.
Yeah, so doing fine, doing very fine.
Awesome. Pleased to hear it. I know, obviously, we hear a lot about game development can be quite stressful. So glad to hear that you're having a good time with it and that you're actually getting to enjoy the process as well. And yeah, I'm really excited to hear more about it. So we're just going to be having a bit of a discussion today about the game itself and just how you guys kind of approach making it. And just from my personal point of view, I really enjoy hearing the kind of insights of how game development works and how you approach it. But yeah, so could you just tell us a little bit about Beat Slayer, just what the game is, kind of how you've approached kind of making it, just anything you can tell us about it in general?
Yeah, of course. Just a quick introduction. Beat Slayer is a hack and slay rhythm game in which you're destroying hearts of robots to the beat. I mean, henceforth the name. One of the main influences was Hades. You've probably seen that when you've
Yes.
played Beat Slayer. And yeah, it is set in a 90s version of Berlin, alternative 90s version of Berlin, I should say, in which an evil music man. Oh my God. Okay, I butchered that one.
Not at all. No. An evil music man sounds about right, to be fair. I like it.
Yeah, took control over the city through brainwashing radio waves. And you're playing as Mia, this very crafty tinkerer and music lover who's trying to free her brother from Dietrich's reign and freeing the city in the same time at the same time. Yeah, and you're listening to your own tune. That's why you're not influenced by the brainwashes. And this tape that she's listening to is called Tanzrausch, which is also one of the abilities in the game.
That's really wicked. I actually from so I just as a kind of disclaimer, I guess I've played the demo. I've had a good run of it a couple of times, and I hadn't realized that the idea was Mia was listening to her own beat, which kind of blocked out that whole idea. So I really like how you've kind of melded the it's almost like the story and the lore of the world with the actual kind of gameplay mechanic. I think that's really cool.
Thanks. Actually, she didn't make the tune. She didn't make the tape. It was one of the guys in the bunker base, which he's taken shelter in, called Pocket, and he made this tape that she's listening to.
Oh, that's really cool. So it's that's the kind of thing that I really like to kind of find out a bit more about. And I guess as someone who plays quite a lot of games, I'm not always the most observant. So like little details with that are actually really cool to find out. And you mentioned the Hades inspiration. Now, when I loaded this up, one of the first things I thought was this plays a lot like Hades, and I really dig that because I adore Hades as a game. So I was just going to actually ask about, the inspirations behind the game. You've mentioned Hades. Were there any other inspirations? How much did Hades kind of play a part in how you kind of sought to design this?
Oh, Hades was one of the main inspirations. We were always trying to sell the game actually by mentioning Hades because it was such an influential inspiration for us. We all love playing Hades, and I always tell people that we kind of thought, hey, Hades is so awesome. What about making Hades as a rhythm game? And that's how we came to Beat Slayer. That's not quite correct, but it's also not quite wrong. So we were playing a lot of Hades back in the day. I mean, we've been developing Beat Slayer since 2021. I
Wow.
just had to look that up. So Hades, one of the biggest influences for the game. But also other rhythm game titles such as Bullets Per Minute and Hextech Mayhem brought us onto the direction of creating a rhythm game. And yeah, I mean Beat Slayer, so there's also the hack and slash inspirations like Path of Exile, Bayonetta, and what I for myself feel a lot in the game, Diablo, because of the
Yeah.
swarming of all of these small robot enemies and you're just crushing them down. Yeah. So
I really love that. There's like so many different like little inspirations in so many different places. And the Diablo one's really cool because the kind of camera angle is quite similar in terms of how it approaches it and stuff like that. And like I said, I'm a massive fan of Hades. So the second that I felt the combat system kick in, it was like slipping into that muscle memory. And I think
awesome.
that's a real achievement because Hades is unbelievably good in terms of its design. So when I slipped into this, I was like, this feels like I'm playing Hades. I already love this.
I'm very glad to hear that.
And, I could talk about Hades all day long. I think I mentioned it on the regular podcast that we do almost every week, potentially. So yeah, glad to hear. And I guess you said obviously other rhythm games. So I've played things like kind of Metal Hellsinger. I never got the chance to play BPM, unfortunately, but
Oh, you should.
was yeah, I know I've heard amazing things about it. I feel like I need to dive in. But was there any kind of particular parts that you took from other rhythm games, or kind of how you wanted to, I guess, kind of distinguish Beat Slayer from the other rhythm games in the genre?
I mean, one of the games that is always mentioned alongside Beat Slayer is Hi-Fi Rush, and though it hasn't been an influence or an inspiration, because we've been developing Beat Slayer for quite some times when Hi-Fi Rush dropped out of nowhere because it was a stealth release by Bethesda. And it kind of stunned us a little bit back in the day, because we were thinking, oh my God, robots that have taken over the world in a rhythm game setting with a crafty guy who loves music. Wow, that sounds pretty similar to our idea,
Yeah,
but
they kind of
it
stole your
also,
thunder a little bit.
yeah, but in the end, it also helped us find our own way. Like, where have do we want to position? What are the things that make Beat Slayer unique in comparison to Hi-Fi Rush? And I think that's one of the best things that could happen to us. So yeah, Beat Slayer had to be different from Hi-Fi Rush, otherwise people would just say it's a clone or something like that. So that's what we were aiming for, a higher difficulty setting than in Hi-Fi Rush, because after we played it, we felt like, okay, it is great that they are trying to motivate you to stay in the beat, but it felt like you could still just press whenever you wanted and they would say, hey, you did a great job trying to stay on beat. And we thought like, okay, no, Beat Slayer, in Beat Slayer, you have to stay on beat in order to play the game properly. So that was one of the main distinctions between the games when we were developing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I played a bit of Hi-Fi Rush. I didn't manage to play as much as I wanted to, but what I did play is I felt very similar. It felt like a Devil May Cry game in a way, but kind of a little bit toned down, where it was a bit more kind of accessible. And it didn't feel like I had to be, running 1,000 miles a minute in my head to try to keep up with everything. And with Beat Slayer, I loaded up and the first enemy literally kicked me to the curb immediately. And I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're going to be setting it at. But I actually quite liked that, because it's nice to, from playing rhythm games, I think a lot of the enjoyment and the satisfaction comes from that mix of challenge. But when you nail it and you get on beat and you're doing maximum damage, or you go into that kind of superpowered mode, there's no feeling quite like it, I don't think, that other games can kind of match. And I guess you've obviously mentioned the kind of difficulty or the challenge aspect was quite a big kind of pillar of that. Was there like a certain point that you aimed for that you wanted players to get to, or where you wanted your like mastery ceiling to be, or was it a bit more organic as you were kind of building it?
I would say it was more of an organic process, because we are creating a roguelike game here, so there was always this pre-made ceiling that we had to reach, like this difficulty setting that everyone was expecting of a roguelike game. And the rhythm aspect that we added just put the ceiling up a notch. Like, it was instantaneously a little bit more harder than most roguelikes, because you still had to stay on beat. But yeah, I mean, we didn't really in particular try to make the game very, very hard, but we wanted to make it challenging enough for people that are good with rhythm. And
Yes.
in the end, we didn't have to try to make it difficult for people that aren't good at rhythm games, because I mean, obviously they will have a challenge. But yeah, we had to also try out plenty of stuff, because in the beginning we were like, okay, if you don't hit on beat, you can't even hit the enemies, and that was quite a notch too much.
I was gonna say, I could imagine that would be quite savage, having played it myself.
Yes, and we went more into the direction of, okay, you do less damage, you don't get into the Tanzrausch, so the enhanced mode, and everything is just a little bit meh if you don't hit the beat, and it's quite hard if you don't stay in on it. And we also have these different difficulty settings in which players that aren't used to rhythm games can go with an easy or a more medium play mode, and the experienced players or people who think they are experienced can enter into the hard mode, and certain settings are toggled on or off depending on the difficulty setting that you're choosing. So we try to cater to as many people as possible, but give them these choices on their own by having the ability to toggle on and off stuff.
Wicked. And I think I will very much be one of those people who thinks they're really good at rhythm games. We'll jump into it and then I will get absolutely battered.
I can tell you, I'm also one of those people, and I'm getting better as well. So
But at least we can suffer it together then. We can both
yes.
because I think that was, when I jumped in, the first enemy literally killed me like straight away. And I was like, okay, this game's not coming to play. Like, this is going to be a game that you do have to, for want of a better phrase, kind of get good at.
Yes.
And once I kind of got into the rhythm, it really started to flow really quickly. And I don't know if that is from my time playing games like Metal Hellsinger or whatnot, but I think that trade-off of like you do less damage or it just doesn't feel as satisfying when you're offbeat really came through. And even just like the text prompt where it comes up with like miss with an exclamation mark, and I was like, damn, it's like really throwing it in my face, and like now I want to get good. So it sounds like you went through quite a process to kind of balance that out. I guess, were there any other kind of like design ideas that you had around the challenge that either you just didn't go with? I know you said obviously not doing any damage was a bit too much, but were there any other kind of ideas that were maybe a bit too punishing or not punishing enough that you had to kind of adjust?
Let me think, because the one thing I remember vividly is that we tried to have different types of music, different genres of music in the game, and with these different genres, the BPM would change as well, and or the whole rhythm of the sound of a soundtrack would change as well, and we tried it, and we learned that it is way too hard to integrate certain genres into the game. Like for example, reggae is switching on and off with their beats and rhythms, and has a lot going on. So that was one of the ideas that we had to scrap. In the end, it worked out well because we went with these electronic techno type beats that are also very representative of Berlin. And I think one of the other ideas was that you could attack in different rhythms. Like currently we have these different weapons, like we have the beat shredder and the rhythm slicer, so the axe and the hammer and a saw blade that you can use and choose in the game. And in the beginning, we were thinking like, okay, maybe we don't need as many weapons if we give the player more possibilities to play on the rhythm. So instead of going 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, you could also hit like 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4. And yeah, we noticed that it got out of hand very quickly because you could just press whenever you wanted.
Yeah, you could just go a bit, get nut, bit nuts for that.
Yeah, and that worked way better than just trying to stay on beat, so we had to scrap that.
Okay, fair. I think
Yeah.
the idea of the different genres obviously is kind of appealing because it obviously then adds a bit of variety. But like you said, I guess certain genres wouldn't quite work as a consistent, when people are playing a game, they kind of want to build up that consistency of a skill. It sounds like that kind of came through as more important, I suppose. Would that be right? Or
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's why we also stick with certain BPMs that the player could get used to, instead of switching it up too much. Also, the soundtrack is playing for, I think, currently two levels at a time. So you have the advantage of getting used to the soundtrack that is playing instead of just getting thrown in there all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I think for me, it was like having that consistent kind of beat. It meant that even when I fell out of the beat, all I had to do was either use the kind of visual cue around the character, which I think is such a great way of helping people to kind of gauge it. But it meant that I could get back into beat a lot quicker as well, which I think is good when you've got like a really high-paced kind of action game like this. And I guess in terms of the combat as well, so I was kind of interested in, was this always planned to be a rhythm game, or was it a case of you wanted to build a hack and slash and the rhythm game kind of built on top of that, or did you always have the idea if it was going to be Hades with, the beat integrated? How did it kind of start compared to how it developed, I guess?
It actually started always started with a hybrid rhythm combat game combination we were aiming for. So the rhythm gameplay and the hack and slay aspect of the game were developed in unison right away. But the roguelike aspect came, and all of the elements that are included in it, we had to add over time because we had to focus on making this feeling of action and rhythm at the same time as satisfying as possible, and all of these roguelike elements could just be added later on.
Yeah, so you could kind of build the roguelite into the core of the game kind of afterwards, I guess. And I guess was that kind of a challenge in terms of adding the roguelike stuff? Was again the kind of ideas that you had to kind of pull back in a little bit, or was it actually quite easy that you just kind of incrementally kind of added to it, or?
The funny thing is that our most successful game to date, called Insurmountable, is a roguelite as well. So we were quite experienced with creating roguelites. And also, as I mentioned, we really loved Hades. So this was just a great combination of factors that came together. So it wasn't that hard to integrate the roguelite aspect. I can't fully speak for all of the devs, but it never came to my mind, and I never heard about anyone saying, oh, it's so hard to integrate these roguelike aspects, because they've already done it two, 3 years ago. So
The experience was already there to some degree to help kind of integrate it. That's pretty cool. And I think that's the nice thing of, when you've had a studio that's kind of stuck together for a bit of time, you know each other's skill sets and you can kind of work in these kind of elements that you might otherwise find a bit more challenging and that kind of thing. And I guess with the, you mentioned the kind of the beats or the music itself, and I'm a really big kind of advocate of music in video games is like, what can take a good game and make it amazing or make it great? And after playing some other rhythm games, I very much am firmly in that camp even more now. So how did you go about kind of coming up with the soundtrack to this? Did you have to kind of build the music around the idea of the beat, or was it very much, I love this piece of music, let's turn it into something we can build the gameplay around?
So we are working together with a company that is creating our soundtrack called Audio Creatures, and we've been working together for quite some time. So they are kind of like this elongated team that we're working together with. I don't know if I said that correctly, but we just have this. They have a sense of what the game needs as a soundtrack, and in the beginning, our devs tried to implement their own sounds, and I remember it very well that it sounded. I sorry to all of my devs listening to this, but it sounded horrible.
So it did not go to
But when we had the first soundtrack to the game, the first track that we added in, it made such a big difference, and we felt like, okay, yeah, this is the direction we want to go. I
plan.
mean, I've said that we first had the idea of implementing different tunes and different genres into the game, but scrapped that idea and went with the full on, okay, we are a Berlin-based company creating a game set in Berlin. So why not give the game the vibe of Berlin and represent techno in the gaming scene a little bit more?
Yeah, kind of play into the kind of roots of where you're based and that kind of thing, isn't it? And I guess, is there maybe scope? I mean, you might not even be able to answer this at this stage, but I guess, is there scope that we might see like DLC that could incorporate different genres, or that you might want to kind of tie that in at like a later date or something like that? Or is it very much a case of, no, this is our vision now, we're going to stick with this?
I think I'm gonna give the marketing answer there. We
Yeah.
have to see how the game performs, but we're
Fair
very,
enough.
very open to expand on the story and expand on the gameplays as well. So we just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, so we just gotta make sure that the game's successful, and then we can see what comes from that kind of thing. Like I said, having played the demo, I really do think that you've got a really great kind of foundation, a really great game here. So yeah, fingers crossed on that front.
Thank you very much.
No, absolutely. Like I said, I'm really into challenging games, hack and slashes or hack and slayers in this case, and rhythm games as well. I thought it was just a perfect amalgamation of stuff that I love. So great on that front. And I think also, we've touched on Hades a lot already, but the story element of Hades was really kind of emphasized in terms of how it develops its characters over the course of the roguelike runs. And each time you then kind of die as part of or finish a run, you're rewarded with a bit of that kind of story involvement. And I noticed playing the demo, I went back to it to play it again, and I purposely kind of died so that I could go back to the hub. And I noticed that my Mia started to reference either the boss that I just fought or like the different parts that I got to. So was there an element of how you want to kind of build the story around the gameplay or how that's going to progress as you go through the game?
Yes, of course. I mean, the main story unfolds primarily in the hub area, as you've seen with the change of dialogues depending on your performance in the run prior to it. And if you die to a certain boss or a certain enemy, the dialogues will change. But there will also be story elements that will be integrated into the runs. For example, after defeating a boss, you will have a comic strip, like in the beginning of the game, when you started it up, there was this animated comic strip.
Oh,
I don't
wicked.
know if you remember it.
Yes, yeah, I didn't know if there'd be more of those or not, so that's exciting to know.
Yeah, there will be more of it,
Excellent.
and that's one of the parts of how the story will be told throughout the game. There will be also different interactions with characters in the run, and also through different abilities and elements, and just sprinkling in story bits here and there. But all of the background inter or most of the background information will be told through dialogues in this hub area. That feels kind of reminiscent of how Hades did it.
Yeah, definitely. It was it kind of seeped through as I was like interacting with characters. I was like, oh, cool, this also feels nice and familiar in that way as well. And I like the idea of what I noticed was the dialogue, there's a bit of it, and then you're kind of encouraged to then go out on your next run. So it's not disrupting like the flow if you're starting to get used to the gameplay, or if you've just, come out of a challenging fight, you want to throw yourself back in. It felt like it was quite quick to give me that bit of story to help motivate me to go again, and then it was quite quick. So was that kind of intentional to make it quite like a trick quick transition to get your story bits in and then move on?
We actually tried to make it as fast as possible because we wanted the player to stay in the flow and don't spend too much time in the hub if they don't want to. I mean, you get your story bits in a hub, you get your upgrades in a hub. We invite you to spend as much time in the hub as you want to, but we don't want to force players to stay in the hub longer than they desire to. And if they feel like, oh, I just want to go one more round, we wanted to make the way to the next run as short as possible.
Yeah, because it kind of really felt like that to me. And it's kind of in a nice way, because if I just got, smacked by an enemy right at the very end of a level and I just wanted to kind of get back out to kind of get fighting again, it kind of felt like the game is very much like, here's a little bit of story just to kind of give you a bit of motivation, or here's a kind of reflection on how you've just done. Crack on and get back out there and start fighting again. And that actually felt like a really nice way to kind of encourage the player to keep moving if they want to. So I thought that was quite nicely paced. And I guess in terms of some of the games like this will obviously have, I know it's got the kind of quest board where you can kind of get XP from completing, you know, certain objectives or reaching a certain level. Is there an idea of any kind of like quests or kind of objectives kind of tied to the hub or to the characters, or is it very much just like a they provide the story stuff, but you're kind of free to just engage with the game itself?
I think actually, except for the training area with body, where you can just you just get this quick introduction into all of the gameplay elements like kicking and slashing and dodging using your ult, where you can get or you will get some of the experience points that you can get and rewarded with at the quest board. I don't think there's much more of experience that you can earn in the hub. It's more so an area where you can where the meta progression is happening, instead of giving you something there that you shouldn't get.
Yeah, that makes sense. I quite like the little training the training guy as well. And also one of the training ones was actually quite tough initially at my first. I think it was the getting into like the superpower mode. I would try and say the phrase or the word, but I would absolutely butcher it and get it horribly wrong. And actually it was really cool the fact that even like the training area is about getting yourself on beat, learning it properly. But he's a fun little training buddy to kind of mess around with. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah, we really love him too. We put him on everything that we can. He was also kind of like our mascot when we first started going out with Beat Slayer. Like, oh yeah, we really love this small robot dude. Actually, now he's not that small anymore. He was pretty small in the beginning,
Oh,
but now
really?
he's like this big, chunky, long neck robot that is just thirsting for being punched.
Yes, he's kind of like a mechanical Hulk who just wants to get kicked about a bit. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
And I guess with you've obviously mentioned the kind of slashing, the kicking. Obviously, you've got kind of special moves that you can use. I think the demo just had the one where you kind of smash the ground, and then it obviously just eviscerates everything within like a certain radius, which is really cool, by the way. I love that move. Is there much in terms of how many special abilities there's going to be, or how you kind of progress in terms of any other moves? I know you've mentioned the different weapons. So is there going to be a lot of kind of progression in terms of how you use specials and that kind of thing?
Yes, so progression occurs on multiple levels within the game. So you can, as we've mentioned, you can get different weapons that will change alter the whole style of your gameplay. Like you have this ranged weapon which acts kind of like a boomerang that comes back to you and can be thrown out as like this mass attack. You have the hammer. I should say, I mean, they have proper names, but the people of the podcast will probably not understand what it really means if I say, oh yeah, you can use the beach shredder.
Yes, yeah, it might not quite translate, I suppose, in that way.
But yeah, the like with the hammer, it is more so of the fitting thing that it is a little bit slower but does more AoE damage. And with all of these different weapons will give you a different play style. You will progress through training with Donna, that is the very, very lovely woman in the main hub, but is also the one who's training you with her dancing skills, which just you can use the XP at her place to just get more health, get more damage over time, increase your chance of getting certain upgrades. And upgrades, there it are one of the main factors of the game. So, we all played Hades, so it is very, very alike, like in Hades, but fit to our special abilities and gameplay elements. Like every single attack that you can use can be upgraded through one of these upgrades, and I think there are seven of them. The ones that are very out there are like the electricity and fire and virus, and you can have all of these different combinations. Like you can have a kick on your you can have fire on your kick, you can have a virus on your ultimate that has different abilities and comes in a different variety, and you can have on your normal attack like this electricity, and all of these combinations make up the progression that you have in the game. Because in the end, it's a roguelike. You have to get good, as you said. But we still have all of these metagame elements that are helping you to feel this progression, like giving you the sense of getting good over time. There's also in the main hub area, Joe, that is giving you these drinks at the bar, which will give you flat out certain stat boost for your next run. Or in the later game, they have this kind of trade-off feeling, like, oh, do I want to do more damage or increase my crit chance? Okay, maybe if I increase my damage, it will decrease my crit chance. But oh yeah, I don't play very critty in my run, so yeah, I should probably take that. We wanted to evoke this kind of feeling.
Yeah, so you're constantly kind of tinkering or kind of maximizing how you want to play based on, what you like to do. Because I noticed that on one of them, it was like, oh, you can increase like your damage, but the trade-off is you'll have less health. And I was like, oh no, I'm already getting like kicked around here. I can't lose any more health. But I imagine, as you upgrade the character and stuff, I guess that makes other ones of those kind of more viable, or that trade-off might actually be, more efficient if you already have more health, then actually losing that health for the damage increase might be worth it and that kind of thing. I think it's a nice idea of having like each run, you just get that opportunity to have like a base improvement straight away, because it does encourage you to think along of, well, what potion did I use and how can I then maximize my value out of that kind of thing. So that sounds like a really cool idea, and I really like how you've kind of merged those two ideas of like you've got your internal progression as you're getting better as a player, but you've also got that external progression to kind of move you along with the upgrades. But also in each run, as you're kind of acquiring those different abilities and that kind of thing. And the shield one is great. I really love the fact that you get rewarded for getting consecutive kind of hits on enemies and you build up those three shields. And I think that pretty much carried me through like the last two levels of the demo. Because I was getting beaten all across the maps before that. And then I suddenly got that upgrade. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Now I can actually go toe to toe with it a little bit more. This is wicked. So I guess, has there been like tuning of some of those abilities to make sure that they're not too overpowered or that they do give that feeling of having a bit more power? How did you kind of approach kind of balancing those, I guess?
Oh, balancing is a very, very interesting thing, because in roguelikes with upgrades, you always have this balancing question. I really adore the shield upgrade as well. It is one of my go-tos. Whenever I see it on the map and I'm like, okay, I have to go into this direction
So I've
because I
definitely
need my
identified the
shield.
good one.
Yes. But yeah, it balancing is just as challenging as it seems. Like, oh, okay, we try out plenty of stuff. We give it out to players. They test it, or in our company, I mean, we are 30 plus people working there, and every second Friday we have like these play t testings. And yeah, most of the time it's like, oh yeah, now the new meta is going full fire mode because you just turn this whole map into an inferno, and the deputy is like, oh my god, okay, yeah, we have to work on that again. And next week the new meta is shield because you can't get any damage because every second dash is giving you way too much shield. And yeah, balancing is hard, but I think we managed to get a very, very like good direction that we're going here. I think we managed very well.
Yeah, I think when I was playing it, the first couple of runs I did, understand, you know, what my upgrades meant yet, because I've not had enough experience of using them. And I guess again, it's kind of the same as Hades of there's that Athena one, which is the shield, and basically every time you dash it like deflects damage. And it became like the go-to thing I'd always try and get in every run. And I think there's something kind of exciting about that, of you can kind of look for what works best with how you want to play. So I guess there's kind of that, like you said, that balancing of you want it to feel good because you want people to kind of pursue it, but you don't want it to become, I'll just use that because that will carry me through the entire game.
Yeah.
And I definitely did feel like Beat Slayer got that balance quite nice just from what I played from obviously that kind of chunk that we got to experience in the demo. It didn't feel like I was ever super overpowered to the point where I could just run into a room and destroy everything. And then you introduced the turrets, and the turrets obliterated me. And I don't, were they like an intentional thing? Or, I mean, it was good in a good way. But yeah, I was wondering, like, they felt like a step up. And I wondered, is that kind of what's going to happen as the game progresses a lot, where there'll be lots of different enemy types that will kind of obliterate you the first time?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the first big enemies is the Hammer Bot.
Yes.
That was kind of a wall for most people that they where they died for the first time and were like, oh my God, okay, this game is actually hard. But yeah, the turrets are a different story because we had to find a way of making them hard and challenging, but at the same time we try to make them entertaining by giving them the ability to destroy their own robot
Yeah.
friends. So I think that was a good decision that we made, because that way we gave a player another possibility of gameplay, because they could choose like, oh okay, I wanna just avoid these lasers that are coming at me and try to direct it into all of these enemies that are right next to me. So that worked very well. And yeah, definitely there are plenty of enemies that will wreck you for the first time. And
Can't wait.
yeah. So
I also
later on they will get even worse. So
awesome. So I've got that to look forward to. Because what
yeah.
also caught me out with those turrets is I got them on the level where the train runs through the middle, and so I
Oh
wasn't paying
yeah.
attention because I was avoiding the turret from obliterating me again. And so I was then stood in the middle, and a train just smashed into me, and I was like, "Oh, okay, this is cool." So it feels like you've integrated like a lot of environmental stuff. Is that going to be, you know, like the train running through that can damage you and enemies? Is that going to be like another feature that will be coming up quite prominently as well?
Oh yeah. There will be different environmental hazards that you have to be aware of as well. I mean, you've mentioned the train that is going through the map, but there will also be cars later on because you're progressing through Berlin. You're starting in the
Yeah.
outskirts and are getting closer and closer to the TV tower, which is the main source of the brainwashing radio waves. So the closer you come, the more challenging and hazardous the area will get as well.
So I can imagine it's not going to get any easier.
No, definitely not, definitely not.
Awesome. I get also when I was playing it, I think, you know, we mentioned kind of the train and like the turrets and the enemy types. I really dig the art style. There's something, again, I mentioned it with the kind of music stuff, but art styles make a big difference, especially for games of this kind of genre and type. Was it a big challenge for your artists to kind of meld the kind of art style into this, or how did they come up with it? Because I think it's a really, really cool art style.
Thank you very much. And I think the artists, they had a direction they wanted to go through from the beginning. I think you can feel that by how well everything fits together, even though there are certain different styles that we try to implement into the game. So the main style of the game is different from the animated comics that are in the game. And it blends very well together, I feel like. And We draw a lot of inspiration from Berlin, where our team also went through. They just took pictures and looked for certain inspiration through graffiti, for example, and because they really adored comics and also anime, which I feel like resonates in the game a little bit. So they draw a lot of inspiration from all of these different vibes and try to combine them into this special art style that we have here in Beat Slayer. So it stands out a little bit more among all of those other rhythm games.
Definitely. Yeah. 'Cause I feel like as a genre, it's quite like it's one where unique art styles are quite at the forefront. You know, you look at things like Hades, for example, it's got a very, very distinctive art style. But even like Hi-Fi Rush, again, probably like you said, it kind of came out just the wrong time for your game. But it's got a very cool art style in that one. Even Metal Hellsinger is like very distinctive in terms of how it looks and that kind of thing. It almost feels like a prerequisite of the genre in a way. Does it feel like that to you, or does it just feel like you went about coming up with your art style and just went from there?
I think we just felt like, okay, yeah, this is the direction we want to go, and we just stick to it. Because we put a lot of research into it and thought, okay, yeah, we can try that out, we can try that out. And when we came to the right, like, how do you say it? To the right terms with one another, and we felt aligned in our vision, it just went from there. And sometimes it went a little bit more into the comic direction. Sometimes it went a little bit more into the anime manga direction. But in the end, I think we managed pretty good designing this very distinctive art style.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And like I said kind of earlier, I really like the little touches of like when you do the kick, there's like the little, almost like a little gusty effect, which I thought was really cool. Or when you're off beat and it comes up with like the miss icon. And when I came up against the artillery bots, you know, I think the visual cues of when you're in danger and stuff are so important. And to have like those radiuses, they look cool, but they're also very helpful to understand when you're in danger and when you're not. So I think, yeah, you guys have done a really good job at being able to meld, you know, telling me as a player when I'm in danger and actually making it look really cool as well. And for the characters especially, did you, was that kind of, I know you've mentioned the kind of anime manga side or more of the comic side. How did you go about kind of designing like the character models and stuff? Because Mia is quite a cool looking character as well. So how did you go about kind of designing them, I guess?
I don't quite know a lot about the inspiration of the character design for the 3D models. So I just remember that we had this meeting when everyone was like, okay, what is one of the most distinctive things about Berlin? And we thought, okay, yeah, definitely the bear, because it is also the mascot of our city. But at the same time, we thought, like, okay, the fox that is very often here in Berlin and also in the inner streets of the city, we thought, like, okay, yeah, that's probably something that we could integrate into the game. And I think you can see the fox inspiration in Mia and also her brother Tony, because I mean we've got some comments about people telling us that Mia is wearing tails from Sonic as a hairdo. So
Oh, that's
that
cool.
came through pretty clearly, I assume.
Definitely. And that'll be music to Ross's ears from Finger Guns because he is a big Sonic fan, so that will go down super well. Excellent. So yeah, like I said, I think the art style side of things is really, really cool. It's one of when I pulled up the trailer to watch it for the first time, it was one of the things that really kind of struck me straight away. And I was like, that looks really wicked. And Berlin, especially, I think, as like a setting, it's, I don't really think it's ever been shown in like a fun kind of funky kind of synthy kind of way, like it's demonstrated in this. And I guess was you obviously mentioned kind of going out and taking pictures and stuff. Was there like a balance to be struck of kind of making it look like Berlin, or did you want to just take that as the basis and then make it your own? Or because I imagine it's quite a balance to make it look like you want it to be depicted versus make it kind of fun and funky for like a game style like this.
Yes, I know that the artist took a lot of care of making the game feel like Berlin, but giving it its own spin because that's why we're also saying that it's inspired or it's an alternative version of Berlin in the 90s, because we didn't quite feel like just recreating all of the parts of Berlin, but giving them our own spin. And yeah, as you've said, making it a little bit more flashy and a little bit more entertaining to be in the city, in a game that just trying to recreate stuff that is there. We also ha had to alter certain things. I mean, the TV tower that you see in the game doesn't quite look like the TV tower that is actually here in Berlin.
Okay. So you
Yeah,
have to get kind of creative.
because certain things just don't like look that cool in a game if you don't make it, if you don't make it cool.
Yeah, you've got to have some artistic license to make it more gamey so that it looks like a
Yes.
spectacle to kind of behold kind of thing.
Yeah.
Grand. And then I also wanted to, I guess, kind of game length is something that's kind of I've noticed coming up in kind of game media quite a lot. And I'm a big advocate of like quality of the content of what you're getting. And roguelikes are kind of that nice balance of you can play them in short stints, but you can play them for a long time because they've got like a lot of replayability. So was there a kind of, is there an ideal of how much time you'd spend to kind of complete Beat Slayer, or how long you expect a kind of player to experience the game for? Or how did you kind of approach, I guess, the length of the game?
Yeah, we tried to average it out on 20 hours for
Okay.
like completing the whole story of Beat Slayer. Just getting through the game like with all your tries and all your runs should take you 20 hours on average. We have these three, it is split into these three sections, and every section ends with one boss fight and has, I think, 8 levels at the moment. So it should take you roughly 20 hours, depending on your skill. Skilled players will get through a little bit faster, though they can go with the hard mode and probably still take a little bit more than these 20 hours.
Yeah, if you're really kind of arduous about it.
Yes. But yeah, we try to give the players as much playtime as possible, but also keep it short and snappy to not make it to fluff it up more than it's necessary.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a really nice balance to try to strike, because I think if there's too much kind of, they always talk about it being like filler content, which I think is always quite a horrible thing in terms of like a term, because people work really hard to kind of build this content and stuff. But I think there is that kind of balance of like, you want to enjoy the quality of what's in here, and you don't want to dilute, the big moments by having to, work for a long time to kind of get there kind of thing. And obviously, you've mentioned the boss battles. So the boss battle that I came up against in the demo, it's quite tough, in a good way. Again, I really enjoyed kind of bashing my head against that wall in like a really kind of fun way. Was there a lot of work done in terms of the enemy variety and the bosses? Are they going to be really distinctive, or are they going to kind of build on the move sets? I know you said there's going to be a lot of different enemies, but how do they kind of progress from each other, I guess, in the different areas or zones?
So there are certain enemies that will always reappear, like the Scorpion Bot, one of the first enemies that you see in the game. But we try to implement as many distinct enemies as possible. So there are some that are just in the air and striking you from weird angles that you have to take care of first in order to get to the bigger ones that are just there to annoy you and take damage you a lot. There are also shield enemies that are giving all of the enemies around them shields. So obviously you have to manage to take care of them first. The bosses are designed to be challenging but also manageable depending on the upgrades that you choose.
Okay.
There are certain upgrades that work better against certain enemies. So for example, the oh maybe I should not tell you.
Yeah, maybe let's keep it a
It's
surprise
probably a
because I
little bit
think.
more too spoilery.
So I was going to say, I guess some of the fun will be actually like, oh no, these upgrades do not work against this boss. I'm going to have to try
Yes.
again.
But yeah, so there are certain upgrades that work better than others.
Okay, that's really cool because I think, yeah, having that kind of element of having to organically learn, like, oh no, this upgrade does like no damage against these dudes. I'm gonna have to try like a different run and try it again. I think it just adds to that kind of level of mastery when you know, like, right, I'm in this zone, these enemies are gonna come up. Let's get these upgrades and kind of go to town on them, kind of thing. So that's a nice way of doing it, by the sounds of it. Wicked. And I guess in terms of you touched on at the very start of the kind of accessibility stuff. So for kind of newer players or people who maybe aren't as kind of versed in rhythm games, were there any kind of considerations that you've made? Or I know you said the sliders and options that you'll have. Is there anything in particular that you've introduced to help kind of newcomers, I guess, to the genre?
I mean, the prior mentioned tutorial area with body and the main hub area is kind of this introduction into our game and getting used to this whole rhythm aspect of our game. There are also plenty of options that you can toggle on and off that help you stay on beat and create the sense of rhythm by looking at the screen and not just listening, because plenty of people don't have this internal feel of rhythm and they just need a little bit more support on the sensory part of their gameplay ability. And yeah, so all of these different modes that we have will also make sure that you will feel welcome in the game depending on your skill level. So that should take care of a lot of accessibility problems for rhythm games for certain people.
Wicked. Yeah, because I know from speaking to some people, you know, they're kind of put off the idea. And I've tried to learn guitar before and I am hopeless. I have absolutely no sense of timing or rhythm. So when I was first kind of presented with the rhythm game, I was like, I love the idea, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it. But I hopped into this and it just felt really natural to get on beat. And I think that's, you know, part of the design that you've achieved there. But yeah, absolutely hopeless typically with rhythm stuff. So I'm quite glad that this was kind of built with people like me in mind, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we try to cater to as many people as possible because in the end it's great to sh share the game with as many people as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And I know obviously you mentioned that you're a relatively kind of smaller studio, you know, 30 people. You've obviously been building this for about 3 years. Was it a game that you'd kind of always wanted to make from like your inception as a studio, or was it something that, you know, has kind of come over the course of time that was like an idea that you finally gotten to kind of bring to fruition? How long has Beat Slayer, I guess, been in the mind, I suppose?
I think Beat Slayer was okay. I think I'd just give you a quick introduction on how we try to develop games in our company because that makes it a little bit more clearer.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So usually we work on two titles simultaneously with two teams. So not all 30 people are working on one title. We try to split them up and give more room to ideas that come up. And whenever a game is released and we feel like it's done after a little bit of support with patches and all this stuff that is happening after release, We go into a new pitching phase, and everyone in the company can just pitch their game idea, and we see how all the others feel about it, and we try to go into a direction that we're even on, and then we try to develop a vertical slice of a game. And most of the time, we in the development of this vertical slice, we see, oh, okay, yeah, these are areas where we should definitely take care of, or oh, we didn't consider that when we had the idea, and the game changes a little bit into another direction. But sometimes it's also more like, okay, yeah, this seems like a good idea, let's try it out, and it works. And we were like, oh, okay, cool. Let's just keep going strong with this and push it more into the vision that we had. And yeah, that's how we try to develop games, giving everyone the possibility to bring in their ideas and not being forced to work on a title that they don't really like.
Yeah, so it's kind of everybody kind of buys in at the kind of early stage and then kind of goes from there kind of thing. So you're all, I guess, working from the same vision.
Yes, exactly. So we all have to be clear on the vision and the direction that we want to go. And I think that shows with Beat Slayer in particular, because all of these parts are working together pretty well, very well, I should say. And the whole direction of it is clear.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a vision that's kind of crystallized very kind of clearly, and then everything's kind of being built into that. And it felt like that when I was playing it too. It felt like a game that was very confident in what it was and what it wanted to achieve. And as a player, that was really great as well, because obviously we work for the website, we do a lot of reviews. We sometimes do come across games where it feels like, genres are kind of being meshed together that don't always quite fit, or, there's great ideas, but not quite the execution. But, from the slice of played of Beat Slayer, all I wanted to do was get him and play more of it. So I'm very keen to see how that kind of comes together as I progress with it. So yeah, that was mostly most of my questions, to be fair. So just thank you for kind of talking me through the game and kind of explaining about it. I guess if I was one thing I kind of like to consider is if I was, with my friends kind of out for dinner or in like the pub or something, and I had to kind of explain this game to them, what would be the way that I would sell them Beat Slayer?
Oh.
Big
So
question, that
big question, but probably something in the direction of Beat Slayer is a unique blend of rhythm and action with a fresh setting that is not very often depicted in games, and very, very interesting characters, and a world that is oh my God. Can
one.
I try again?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. So I would probably say something along the lines of Beat Slayer is this unique blend of rhythm and action with a fresh setting that is kept captivating the story and all of these awesome characters together. And whether you're a seasoned rhythm game enthusiast or completely new to the genre, it will deliver to your needs. And you can experience something that will keep you glued to the screen for hours. If you're in particular interested in roguelike games and rhythm games, it's the perfect fit for you. If you don't like action games, nor rhythm games, nor roguelike games, and you still like the game, hey, send me a message. I want to know you, because then we did the impossible and
I was going to
managed
say you've
to
achieved the
sell
real
you this
miracle there.
game. Yes.
And you know what? I wouldn't even be surprised if there was someone who normally wouldn't like these genres but would like this game. I think it's got that certain kind of little appeal to it that will catch somebody out. And who knows, you might even bring some people into the genres. Maybe people who hadn't even discovered they like roguelites.
Hey, that would be great. Roguelikes are a great genre out there. It's not that beloved for no reason. So roguelikes rule. Roguelikes are great. And especially, I think Souls-like fans will have their fun with roguelikes. So maybe we should just try to get all of these Souls-like people to try out more roguelikes if they don't play it already.
So if we run with the tagline, it's like Dark Souls, but for rhythm games, maybe that will bring in that community.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
I was going to
We
say
should
that's
go with
always the vibe.
that.
There you go. I've given you your caption line for the game now. Now I think it's always nice to kind of hear from, the development team themselves, kind of how they like to consider their game and how they perceive it. Because, when it's thrown out into the world, it's all about how it's interpreted and how people see it and all that kind of thing. And I had my own perspective of it, having played a bit of it, watched the trailers and that kind of thing. But I definitely agree that once you're immersed in it, I played like a good hour or two of that demo just because I kept wanting to do another run and do a little bit better than I had before. And just on like the last thing, the power-up ability is so satisfying. Was there like, how did you come up with the idea of like the souped up? It's almost like the Dragon Ball Z like Super Saiyan kind of mode where you get like the little aura around you. Like, was that kind of always designed that way, or did you kind of add to that as well?
I think we had the idea for quite some time, but edited in a little bit later. And you really caught us there because we always said that it should feel kind of like the Kaioken from Dragon Ball.
Oh, yes.
So we I think that you're assuming that it has this Dragon Ball feel to it.
Yes,
Shows
yeah.
that we managed to do it. We managed to give you that feeling, and I'm very happy that we did
You absolutely nailed it. The first time I got it when I was fighting the enemies properly, I was like, boom, I'm a badass. Let's go. Like, I'm ready for this now.
Yes.
So you've absolutely smashed that part, to be fair. That was really cool. But yeah, no, I just want to say thank you so much for your time and coming along and talking to us about the game. I think it sounds like you guys have worked super hard on this, and also the fact that you work on two games at the same time or like kind of coincide with each other, that's even more impressive. So you sound like you're a very busy studio. So again, appreciate your time and talking to us about it. And yeah, from my own personal perspective, Beat Slayer is awesome. I'm really looking forward to playing it. When can we expect to play it? What platforms can we play it on? Just, if anybody listening who's now hopefully very interested in trying the Dark Souls of rhythm games.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here. And thanks for all the kind words. Beat Slayer will come out on the 4th of April, so it's not that long anymore. And we're also going to be at the PAX East. So if somebody out there wants to play our demo there, you can check it out. Also, I think that answered your question, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just when we can expect to get our hands on the game properly. But yeah,
Oh,
no.
yeah, 4th of April, 4th of April on Steam. Everything else maybe later. If you give us the support we need, we will try to get it on Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox, all of the Xboxes that are currently out there.
All 600 of them. Yep.
And yeah,
Absolutely.
so 4th of April.
Absolutely. So Steam first, hopefully kind of console releases later down the line. So we just need to make sure that we buy a good few thousand copies each just to make sure,
That would
No,
be
that's
great.
wicked. No, like I said, it's been wonderful having you. Glad that you've, enjoyed being able to talk about the game. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing it on April 4th myself. I'm really excited now that I've had the opportunity to try a bit of it out and to chat to you about the making of it. And just congrats to the team for all the work that you've put into it. It sounds like you work super hard, and hopefully when it releases, you'll get the rewards and all the praise it deserves, hopefully.
Hey, thanks a lot. I hope so too.
No problem at
And I'm
all,
looking
no.
forward to the release.
I bet it'll feel like a bit of a relief once it's kind of out
Oh,
in the wild.
definitely. Everyone is working very, very hard right now, still.
I'll bet.
But I think after release we can take a little bit of time off.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys like take a bit of time afterwards to just kind of completely kind of detach from it, or?
I mean, we will support the game in the first weeks after it, for sure, because I mean, even though we try to do as much quality assurance as possible, some bugs will still be in it.
Yeah, of course.
It just happens. And yeah, we want to support the community, and we'll have to see how many people are gonna play the game. And if it's a lot, we will take into consideration of adding more stuff. So,
Awesome.
but yeah, after release, a little bit of time off.
I was going to say, a little bit of relaxation and recuperation. Sounds like it's going to be well deserved.
Yeah.
Excellent. I go now? Can I go? Can I go?
Yeah, you go now.
Alrighty. So that was the interview. I hope it lived up to the billing and my hype for it. And I hope that listening to Maxi's kind of insights and the development team for Bite Rockers has been, an interesting kind of listen. You know, from my perspective, it was just a really fun conversation and it just really flowed, like really naturally. It didn't feel like necessarily like an interview per se. It just sounded like we were just chatting about game development, which was really cool. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed it as well, Roscoe. Thanks for joining me on this little expedition into Beat Slayer.
Not a problem. I imagine you have 100 more questions now you've actually beaten the game.
Oh, so many. So, so many.
Maybe
I think we might have to do another repeat one.
we'll have to do a spoiler special, won't we, on Beat Slayer?
Oh, that'd be a dream. That'd be an absolute dream. Yeah, I think there's just a lot to glean from it, playing the full game through. There's lots of stuff that came out that I would love to, explore more around, but Maxi's probably a very busy dude, and so are the team, to be fair. They just managed to release this game I play to them. But yes, hope you all enjoyed it. And thank you very much for joining us for this very special episode of the Finger Guns podcast.
Here we go.
I'm going to do it. I promise, Roscoe. I promise myself I'll do it properly this time. So, are we ready, Roscoe? Do
I'm
you think we
so
can?
ready.
He's just going to be like in the shadows, just like mocking my performance on
Just
this.
sitting here with my red buzzer, just waiting.
Honestly, he's got like a bat. He's sat next to me. If I get anything wrong, he's just going to smack me with it. You know, it's going to be rough, but we're going to get through it one way or another. But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all very much for listening. And don't forget, if you like us, then you can follow us absolutely everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below, where you can find us in all of the places, except for me, of course, because I'm smart and not on Twitter. And I've done that early, but
You've
I'm
done
in the
it
hot
way too
seat now.
early, way
It
too
doesn't
early.
matter. I'm in the hot seat, Roscoe. You can't even stop me now. However, if you'd like to follow the rest of the team on Twitter or X, you can at FNGRGNS. And if you'd like to follow us individually, all of our handles are also in the description below. Again, except for me, because I'm super smart. I'm not on Twitter, and that doesn't sound at all arrogant whatsoever. And if you really like what we do, why not follow our Patreon for just $1 a month and keep this podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny? But also, we get to do more of these Finger Guns spoiler special podcasts. It's not really a spoiler special, but it's special. But that is it. Also, if you'd like to, please leave us a review. As Roscoe says, you might not necessarily care about it, but it means a lot to us. So if you hate our podcast, especially this one, please give it a 5-star anyway. If nothing else, because Maxi is amazing and fully deserves it. That's right. I'm going to plug Maxi as being the reason it should be a 5-star.
Yeah.
But that is it from us. Thank you all very much for listening along. We hope that you've enjoyed this special podcast. We really had a great time both playing Beat Slayer and for having the opportunity to interview them. So just thank you to Neon Hive and to Bite Rockers for organizing it. And yeah, otherwise, it's a goodbye from Roscoe.
Yeah, bye. Shout out to Rachel at Neon High. Thank you very much indeed.
You're a legend. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you so much.
Thank you very much for joining me, Roscoe. I've appreciated having you along for the ride and for giving me the reins for today, as much as I'm butchering this outro.
It's not a problem. Just remember your name.
Now, do you know what? I'm just gonna end it there. Cheers. See
Okay,
you later,
bye.
everyone.
See everyone.
Bye, everyone. Up and miles.
Yeah,
Oh, and we'll see you next time on the Finger Guns podcast. Boom.
okay, you can stay.
Yay.
For now.
Oh.